Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
It's my pleasure this morning to welcome to this pulpit our Reverend Murray Cornelius. Reverend Murray Cornelius is the Executive Director of Mission Global. He was elected at the General Conference, which is the General Conference for all the pastors in the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada across the nation. He was elected in 2022 to the position of Executive Director, and I believe that was your second term or third. That was his fourth term. That means that he's been there almost 20 years, 25 years, doing a phenomenal job. That has aged us because we knew each other. He and his wife, Cindy, moved to Harare, Zimbabwe in 1987. He served as academic dean of the Trans-Africa College in Zambia, appointed Southern Africa Regional Director of the PAOC. He and Cindy planted churches and pastored churches, equipped pastors, and they're still instrumental in the Village of Hope, which is our absolutely incredible children's program, rescuing children, picking up orphans around the world. His passion and his strategic focus is reaching lost wherever they are, developing leaders, and caring for the missionaries and for the poor and the oppressed. Reverend Murray Cornelius works for our national office in Mississauga of the PAOC. However, he is hardly ever there because he's around the world positioning himself to help the missionaries, protecting them from dangers that we do not understand, providing for their needs which we don't understand. And so he's always somewhere. It is our delight to have him in this house, online and in-house. Welcome, Reverend Murray Cornelius.
You missed the most important thing in that list, and that is Murray Cornelius is a friend of Marie Miller. And that is a terrific thing to be. Thank you, Marie. You are always a joy to be with, and to have the opportunity to be here is a great privilege and pleasure. Just want to thank you once again, Pickering Pentecostal Church. You are faithful, faithful supporters of the work of God around the world and in Canada. And for that, I honor you. I thank you. Thank you for this beautiful array of global workers and Mission Canada workers that you support. I could name them all, but that would take too long, and I don't have a lot of time. Of course, amongst them is your former pastor, Colin and Dorsalee Gittins. Thank you for your support of them. I heard a great report from Colin recently. Thank you. In their new church, there were 7 new believers. 5 came from Hindu backgrounds. We're thankful that the Lord reaches out to people and brings them into the kingdom of God. My subject this morning is we must finish the work that God has called us to do. Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus goes on to say, as long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. There is a day coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will return, His soon coming return, at which time the work will be finished. So we must work while it is yet day. I am in the world, he says, I am the light of the world. Well, what is this work that he is referring to? What is God's work? What is it that God is doing? Well, the Bible speaks repeatedly about God's work. And we use this term we'll even use it for ourselves. I'm doing the work of the Lord. The Bible speaks and renders to us a story of God's mission, God's work, through God's people, through us, in our engagement with His world, with His creation, for the redemption of all of the world. The whole story of the Bible is the story of God at work, bringing redemption and reconciliation for all mankind. It is a ministry of reconciliation, and it is a work that he has given to us. We like to use this sort of phrase here, top line blessing, bottom line blessing. So if you read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, the Abrahamic covenant, the Great Commission of the Old Testament, it begins where God says to Abram, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. That's the top line blessing. God blesses us. But if you read on, it says, and you will be a blessing, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's the bottom line blessing. Let me illustrate it to you this way as well, through what I call the cycle of grace. We have a word charis in Greek. It means grace, but we also use it for charismata, the gifts of grace, and we use it for Eucharist, the thanksgiving, a grace of thanksgiving. And so it works a bit like this. God gives you grace so that you will give grace to others so that together we can give thanks to God. Don't be end users. Don't just be receivers of God's grace through whom nothing flows. Otherwise, you're in danger of being like the Dead Sea. You've heard of the Dead Sea? It's there in Israel. Nothing lives in it. It's salty and silty. It's so salty you can almost sit on it and not sink. Why is it dead? Because you see, you have this beautiful water from Mount Hermon north of Israel in the mountains of Lebanon, and that beautiful water, when the snow melts, flows down into the River Jordan, into the Sea of Galilee. And we know that the Sea of Galilee is filled with fish because Jesus was fishing there, the disciples were fishing there, and then it goes down into the River Jordan where John was baptized and Jesus was baptized, and then it flows into the Dead Sea. And it dies there because the Dead Sea gives nothing away. It's an end user. It does not understand that water has to keep flowing and blessing others. And so my encouragement to all of us, we all are called to the mission of God. We're all called to the work of God. We're all called to receive His grace, give His grace, so that collectively we can give thanksgiving to God. Well, around the world, we're to go and make disciples, but around the world, there is what we call the unfinished commission of God. In 1974, at the time of the first Lausanne conference, there were 2.7 billion unreached people in the world. It was 67% of the population of 4 billion at that time. Today, there are 3.3 billion. The bad news is the number has gone up. The good news is that's only 40% of the 8.2 billion people who live in the world today. But the unreached remain unreached. And why? Why are the unreached unreached? Well, because in some cases we don't pray enough. And if you were to take that QR code there, it would take you to a place in our website where you would receive information about unreached people groups. You would receive a call and a way to participate with us in interceding on behalf of the world. We are all able to pray. We're all called to pray. It's also hard to get where they are. It's hard to get where the unreached are. And Jesus tells us the laborers are few. There's not enough people who are going. And so that song we just sang says, who will go for me and speak to the nations? And perhaps the church is not as fully committed to the task. I thank you, Pickering, for making an effort to give over $250,000 to the mission of God. God bless you for that. And I pray that God will multiply that and bless you for your giving. As long as it is day, we must do the works of Him who sent us. I like to show this map here. It really illustrates where in the world remains unreached. All those green countries, you will find the church present there. My wife and I, my mom and dad worked in Southern Africa. It's all sub-Saharan Africa. It's all green now. The Church of Africa is a strong church. Latin America, South America, the Church of Latin America is a strong church. China, the Church of China is an incredibly strong church. But then you see those red countries across what we call the 1040 window. There are places like Bangladesh where you can go and shake the hands of 100,000 people and not meet another believer. There are over 100 million Bengali Muslim people, and they will have no friend or relationship with any Christian anywhere. That's what we mean by the unreached of the world. Well, I want to share some stories with you that'll bring you a little good news about what God is doing around the world. I want to show you that your investment in mission is making a difference in different parts of the world. This group of people you see on this these steps here. These are my colleagues from around the world. 78 different countries were represented at what we called a Senders Conference, and they are the mission directors of all of these different countries from Latin America, from Asia, from Africa, from the West Indies. We were all from Europe. We were all present there, praying together, strategizing together, believing together that we can reduce that 40% down to 30% and down to 20%. We are not in this alone as a Canadian church or as a Western church. The whole church everywhere is engaged today in taking the good news of the gospel. And I can share some of those stories with you. I'll start with India. This map here shows us a map of India. India also has a very strong Christian church. Over 70 million believers in India today, but most of them live down in the south or up in that northeast corner called Nagaland. But you see that big square of white, that represents 1 billion people. And less than 1% of that part of India are Christian. We are working together with the Assemblies of God of India, particularly out of the city of Delhi, and we are helping them to plant 500 churches going into North India. We've been raising money for that. Sam Vijayasenan, one of those that you support, who's also a pastor at Malvern, he is going into India. I think he may have left this week or he's leaving on Tuesday. He goes in. He works with the church, and we are planting churches all through that area. That's how we invest the finances that God gives to us. And we're believing for a great harvest in North India. Secondly, I could take you to Egypt. And this is a great story. Egypt has a strong, also, Assemblies of God church. We have been working with them. In fact, a Canadian was very much a part of starting the Assemblies of God of Egypt way back in 1910. He was a Canadian man, came out of Ontario here, was baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, went to Egypt, served as the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God of Egypt for many years. Today they have over 200 churches. They have grown. It's a very difficult country, but they've grown about 25% in the last 5 or 6 years. And they are now sending workers themselves, not only to the unreached of Egypt, but into all of North Africa, Libya, Mauritania, Mali, Morocco, into Syria, Iraq. Egyptians called by God, they're answering the call and saying, here am I, send me. And we're working with them. We're supporting them. We're helping with their training. You will recall that Cambodia went through a terrible genocide in the late 70s, early 80s. It wasn't until 1991 that they had their first democratic elections. Interestingly, there was a Kenyan man, a man from our church in Nairobi, from Christ is the Answer Ministries. He was a general in the Kenyan army. He was sent to Cambodia as a monitor of the elections. He was given an interpreter and a driver. This interpreter and driver wanted to really have conversations with him and argue about Christianity and And the general said, listen, I don't want to argue with you. He says, here's a Gospel of John in your language, in the Khmer language. Read this, and let's talk about what you read. They were together for 3 weeks, and at the end of those 3 weeks, Hong Song was a follower of Jesus Christ. He later became the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God of Cambodia. That's how God works. He uses people from every walk of life, a general from the Kenyan army reaching out in Cambodia. That's how God's work is working in the world today. Well, I was just there, and we opened this student center, the Global Student Center. It is a church that's now, I'll explain exactly, but we have a church there that's filled with young men and young women. These are young men and young women who come from the surrounding areas, from villages around them, and they need a place to live while they're attending university in Phnom Penh. And so the student center was started as a place where they could come. It provides dormitory space for them. And while we were there, we were celebrating the opening of this new building, but it's been 10 years since the ministry has been going. And we had a great party. Just go to some of the party pictures. Go a little bit further. I want to show you these young people sitting around the tables here, enjoying a... We had a great meal. What I noticed about all these young people is as the party went on, they changed their clothes about 3 times. When they party, they really party. They had different outfits for different parts of the evening, and they just had a great time. One of the young people that came to... that came to the Global Student Center was a young lady named Celine, and she's representative of what is happening. She came, she found Jesus, her life was changed, she's now a part of this community of young people in this church, but they go back to their villages where they came from. She went back to her home, and her mom and dad have come to Jesus. People in the neighborhood have come to Jesus. They now have a branch church in her village. And this is being multiplied over and over again by other students. You see, if you can change one life, you can change a family. Change a family, you can change a community. Change a community, you can begin to change a nation. And we're just seeing something really good happening in Cambodia. 2 more countries, Bangladesh, this is one that I have the privilege of going to on a regular basis. We've been working there with a wonderful church, and less than 1% Christian throughout Bangladesh, but we have seen over 150,000 baptisms over the last 30 years. But in the last 5 years, most of their early house churches were amongst Hindu background people, but God is opening the door amongst Muslim background people who are finding their hope in Jesus Christ. And they've planted nearly 500 house churches. The way we do that, we go into villages and we provide some clean water. We put wells in because in Bangladesh, they've got lots of water, but often the surface water is filled with arsenic. And so they have a real arsenic problem. And we go in, we meet their needs, whatever those needs are. And if it opens the door, it opens the door. And what happens is some people come to Jesus. So I was there just last year about this time, and we were training over 40 leaders. When I was there a year ago, these were leaders in the house church movement, but they were so new to the faith that they could hardly find their way through the Bible. We were doing very simple things like, you know, there's 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New, helping them find their way through. My son just came back from Bangladesh, and he says their growth in the Lord is amazing. And so we are working together with these folks to see the gospel of Jesus Christ go forward in Bangladesh. Pray for the church in Bangladesh. Well, let me ask this question of you. You see, God knows your name. He tells us that we are his handiwork. We are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared for us in advance to do. Maybe you're here today and God has a call of God in some way on your life. How far are you willing to go? What are you willing to do if God puts a call on your life. Let me show you the kinds of people that we're looking for in our organization. Four people on the left-hand side is a young man named Zach. He and his wife are what we would call our sort of traditional global workers. They've taken their family, they've gone to Thailand, they work in university ministry, they work up on the border in Myanmar, they work down in areas that were hit by the tsunami many years ago. They're full-time, they're committed. Sitting right in the middle, you'll see an older couple. And Dave and Joanne retired about 5 years ago. He worked for Ontario Hydro. And instead of just going down to Florida for his retirement, they go to Thailand every year. There they are. They go to Thailand every year. And they spend 5 months of their year working with Zach amongst university students, serving the Lord, and they say, this is better than any holiday that we could have in Thailand, in Florida. So I just want some of you semi-retired, early retired people here to know that if you want to get away from a Canadian winter, I've got lots of warm places to send you. All right? It's a beautiful world out there. The young lady on the right, Shania, she comes from the West Indies, from Trinidad, came up here to go to Bible college, felt called of God to mission, but not in a traditional sense. She's gone to Thailand, and she has a job. As she went, she took her job with her so she can sustain herself, but she's part of our team. So we're looking for professionals, people from any walk of life. Maybe you get a job overseas, or you could serve somewhere. Maybe it's in a place that's very hard for us to go as traditional global workers, but you feel called of God. We want to help to support you, make you a part of our team, give you the resources that you need. And then one last couple on the next picture after this. This is Innocent and Immaculee, says a bearer. What great names. Innocent and Immaculee. They originally come from Congo. They left the Democratic Republic of Congo as refugees. They ended up in Edmonton. They raised their family in Edmonton, but they came to us and said, we feel called to go back. And originally they wanted to go back to the Democratic Republic of Congo, but as we were praying together and discussing with them, they chose to go back to the country of Guinea in West Africa. So it's a different language, it's a different people group. But they're there working amongst the Muslim people of West Africa, seeking to bring the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, if you're here today, just want you to think about this question. If God were to call you, if God were to call you, would you be willing? Would you say yes? See, that's what the Lord expects of us, is a willingness to say yes. And if that's you and you want to come and talk to me afterwards, come and see me. I do have some reports out the back there. I've got this little card that can introduce us to you a little bit more. How far would you go to reach the least reached? Are you willing to say yes? Father, bless this congregation. Thank you for their faithfulness to the mission of God here in Pickering, in Toronto, in Ontario, in northern Quebec, and around the world. Bless them in Jesus' name.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.